Welcome to the Texans Talk Podcast. I'm Mark Lane, managing editor of the Texans Wire, that you can find at texanswire.usatoday.com and also on Twitter at the Texans Wire. Follow me on Twitter at the Real Mark Lane if you want some good memes. And I'm joined, as always, by John Crumpler, who's was our draft expert at the Texans Wire, but now that there's no draft, he's just kind of stumbling around like Thor in the the first part of Avengers Endgame. And we were trying
Fat Thor now. Did you know that he drinks a beer from Atlanta? Fun fact.
Who does?
Thor, when he's on the ship, he's drinking a Creature Comforts, which is a local Atlanta beer.
Well,
so every time I get that and I take people out to breweries, I'm always like, this is what Rocket's talking about when he says, we got beer on the ship.
Nice. There you go. Yeah. And then when you're talking with those people out at the brewery, where do you tell them to follow you on Twitter?
I tell them they can follow me at John H. Crumpler for Texans Breakdown. Yeah, I don't really know what my new title is going to be, Mark, but I'll definitely be writing this offseason, and I'm excited to work towards training camp.
Yeah, I think maybe lead Texans analyst, that'd be good.
Hey, I mean, I will take it and run, because I have a suspicion we may be onboarding someone who knows more about the draft than me soon anyways. So I'll take a new title while I can get it.
Yeah, well, if we do, then the joke's on me. Well, so the Texans, here we are, it's OTAs, but still there's an element of the offseason that people want to reflect on. And now that the player acquisition aspect of the offseason is over and the offseason workouts are well underway, I'm curious, John, what grade would you give the Texans offseason?
I think I would give it a B+. It kind of started rocky and there were definitely some lows, but overall they did really well. I think Lovie Smith, we'll see if he can do it, but what he's already done is brought a lot of credibility back to the organization. He's changing the way people around the league talk and feel about the Houston Texans. In terms of the draft, the first five picks, Derek Stingley, Kenyon Green, John Mechie, Christian Harris, Damian Pierce, those are five starters, I think. Maybe not Christian Harris at linebacker, but still five foundational players. And then they brought back veterans who they believe in, and really, Nick Caserio is the face of this rebuild. We have to trust him. The only reason I can't give it an A is they did not bring in any veteran starters who I think will perform at a high level. They brought in A.J. Cann, and I think he told at the press conference, call him the edge rusher. I think he could start opposite of Jonathan Grenard, but I wish they brought in one impactful free agent. Otherwise, I give it an A right now, B+.
Okay, so who was it with the nickname again?
Agbanya Okoro, the edge rusher we got from the Rams. I was reading through his press conference, and he said, y'all can call me – let me look at it now.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking for it as well through the transcript. Well, he likes to kick it at Papados. I don't see it in the transcript, but I'm ready to say it. Agbanya Okoronkwo,
Oh, here it is. The question was, what's the strangest way someone has tried to pronounce your name before? And he said, I've heard it all, but I try to keep it easy and let everybody call me Beezy.
Okay. All right. Beezy. So there you go.
I might go with Beezy. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I'm pretty excited about that, because
like I said, I butchered his name
several times. Yeah, you were ready. I was not, though. So, BZ it is. Mark, how would you grade the offseason?
Yeah, I don't want to just repeat what you say, that it's a B+, but, you got to be true to yourself. And that's the way I see it. And the reason why is because you take a look at free agency, and it was quite tepid. I mean, I think their biggest signing was A.J. Cann. Or maybe Marlon Mack, if you want to go from a Madden point of view. But they just didn't have any compelling free agent signings. It was a lot of we like our guys in terms of bringing back Desmond King, you know, Kamu Grugier-Hill. But, and, you know, they got the Brandon Cooks extension. So on the free agency front, it wasn't too compelling. But once they got through that blockbuster trade with Cleveland and were able to assemble those picks, then you got to see Nick Caserio wheel and deal and get creative when it came to talent acquisition. And I think that's what excites Texans fans about the future is what can Nick Caserio do with big cap space? What can Nick Caserio do when he has these draft picks and he's putting the final touches on a contender? So really their draft was solid, and that's why I would have to give it a B plus. If not for the draft, if it was just a, let's say it was a 2020 draft, okay, like the last one under Bill O'Brien, you know, I might give the offseason a C plus, you know, just because of how tepid the free agency acquisition was. But that draft really was stellar in the fact that they went out and got Stingley, flipped picks, and shored up the guard situation. They get John Metchie, who you figure in year two is going to be an effective complement alongside Nico Collins and Brandon Cooks. And then they added some developmental guys like Austin Deculus. I think that it was a very strong draft. And so, yeah, I would go with a B plus. But next year, when they've got ample cap space, I would anticipate Nick Caserio scoring an A.
I would too. And like we both said, they were on the precipice of an A. It's just that they did not bring anyone from outside the building that really projects on this team as a starter past 2022. But that's fine. They crushed the draft. And the matter of fact is, if we're being honest, Mark, they kind of had to crush the draft, right? They had so much draft capital.
Yeah, they really did. Now, they entered the draft with the most picks with 13, and I still think they made the most selections with 9, but Caserio was able to build packages and go get specific guys. And really, what I thought was genius and maybe a staple of his going forward is they didn't spend a lot of time in round 7. Matter of fact, they didn't make a selection at all. I mean, he gets the job done by round 6 and they're out of there because they're looking for specific guys. They're looking to acquire the best talent, not, you know, just a quantity of players.
It's kind of nice. By 3:00 on Saturday, we're done covering it. And honestly, in the 6th round, we still kind of know the players on the board. Like Thomas Booker was a name I was familiar with. I mean, don't get me wrong. They lost me with Teagan.
Quatoriano.
But yeah, Caserio goes and gets his guys, and it's something I really respect, and it's something that it makes the rebuild one where you want to watch it. And frankly, it probably shouldn't factor in, but that does factor into how I evaluate the offseason, that they're starting to create a compelling product that I'm going to want to see how it performs on the field.
Yeah, and that's
compared to last year where we knew.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, when you see Peter King, for example, put them at number 32 in the power rankings, it's really kind of a joke, especially when there's other teams that are ahead of them. I don't know. I think what Sam Monson did with his power rankings at Pro Football Focus, I think those were a little more accurate. He had Houston at number, I think, 28. You know, they're a bottom 5 to 10-ish team. Okay, but I don't think that they're the absolute worst team. You kind of know what Lovie Smith is going to bring. You figure that they could win at least 6 games. I don't think they're going to be in the top 3 in the draft next year.
If they are, something went horribly wrong with Davis Mills. But yeah, any ceiling projection, I would not put them at 32 right now. That does beg the question of who I would put at 32. Maybe Detroit. Like, I think Jared Goff is just so bad. I think Davis Mills can win us more games, and we're in a worse division. Maybe Chicago.
I would have to say Chicago, because you've got a new coaching staff. Justin Fields has been kind of, you know, thrown into neutral. Okay, so I'd put Chicago as the worst team.
That's fair. Yeah, 28, 29, 30, somewhere around there. I don't think we're, like, any higher than that. You said 5 to 10. Outside of, like, the bottom six might be stretching it for me. But, like you said, they've put something together where I can believe this team outperforms their Vegas. They have the lowest Vegas win total at 4.5, and I think they'll beat that.
Yeah, I think that they're kind of a sucker bet at that point. But, you know, that's what makes it interesting, is you got to play these games on the gridiron, not paper. And with that being said, the Houston Texans, they're in their first week of organized team activities. And like Lovie Smith says, hey, at Big Sandy, voluntary's voluntary. So with defensive tackle,
I love that.
Malik Collins and two-time Pro Bowl left tackle Laremy Tunsil not showing up at Houston Methodist Training Center this week. Does that make you a little nervous, John?
Zero. I'm actually negative nervous about that. I mean, the two guys that didn't show up, I think they might be two of the most firmly entrenched starters on the team, up there with Brandon Cooks and Davis Mills. We all know week one, Laremy Tunsil's coming in as the highest paid guy on the team, and he's going to anchor the left tackle position. And Malik Collins was just brought back on a nice deal, and he is the three technique defensive tackle in Lovie Smith's defense. I could not be less worried about it. I actually felt better about the direction of the team, that Lovie said players didn't have to be there and that then players weren't there. But I mean, it's not like it was everyone. It's just two veteran guys who've been doing it for a long time. I liked that. It kind of made me feel like there were adults in the building running that. How'd you feel about it?
Yeah, I think it. You might feel a little nervous if you had other veterans, but it was just those two guys. And with Laremy Tunsil, he's still coming back from an injury. But you know that they're committed. I mean, Laremy Tunsil posted that, you know, clip from Wolf of Wall Street of Jordan Belfort, you know, I'm not effing leaving. So you know that he's invested. And with Malik Collins, you know, I've got a little bit of a history with his career. He's a guy that, you know, he's not selfish or anything. So you figure with them staying away from OTAs that they're balancing it with their ability to form cohesion with the rest of the team. And really, there's only one off-season event that matters, and that's mandatory minicamp, because you can get fined and stuff for not showing up to that. And if not for that, then, you know, again, like Lovie Smith says, voluntary is voluntary. I think it would be a bigger deal if this was someone on, let me pose it to you this way. What if Ross Blacklock wasn't at OTAs? What would you think of that?
I see. Right, with that, I would be alarmed, because that could kind of feel like, to me, one of the Bill O'Brien guys who hasn't had a lot of success possibly quitting on the team, which we've seen.
There you go. Lenny Johnson. There you go.
But these are two starters who've recently reworked their contracts and said they wanted to be here. Malik Collins is considered one of the best pass rushing defensive tackles in the league. We all know what Laremy Tunsil is capable of doing in pass protection when he's healthy. It's the right veterans to be making this move, and the people that need to be there are there. So no qualms about who's at OTAs. I'm actually really excited at how many people did turn up.
Yeah, they 95% attendance. And Brandon Cook said that no one's selfish, that they're all committed, and they want to get over what happened in 2022. And it's making for you know, just a little bit of optimism. It's just a little bit of optimism that if you point it out, you're crazy. But I think it is optimism, and we'll see how it stands up once they get punched in the face for the first time, or how it can weather training camp. But it is kind of optimistic at this point.
And it feels good, Mark. It feels freaking good. Like, I like that, like, they're talking really well about Davis Mills at camp right now, and they've put a situation together where I can kind of believe that Davis Mills has a chance to be that franchise guy. And I believe Brandon Cooks when he says that he's excited about John Metchie and what he can bring.
Yeah, and Metchie, he's someone that has really captured the attention of Cooks. We have an article on that at TexansWire.USAToday.com. And Brandon Cooks said that Metchie is special. Now, he's coming off of this ACL tear that sustained in December of 2021. And albeit the Alabama team football doctor, the respected Dr. Lyle Kane from Andrews Sports Medicine, says that, you know, by gosh, Metchie could have played in the national championship game, the Texans are nevertheless easing him back into football. So what do you think Texans fans could expect from John Metchie this year?
I'll be as conservative as I think I can be. Right now, ESPN projects John Metchie for 91 targets. Let's say he misses two games. Let's say they play it really conservatively. They don't let him play in the preseason. They hold him out the first 2 weeks. I'd still say 70 or 80 targets after that. I mean, he has a very clear path to the slot receiver role. The way they're talking about him at camp, it doesn't take long for talent to show up, Mark. I think in any field, you recognize talent when you see it. And Metchie sounds like that guy. So I expect him to be there. I expect him to be used in a good volume capacity. Maybe 600 to 700 yards, and he plays 13 or 14 games. What would you guess?
Yeah, I think about 12 games. I think maybe he, like I said, they ease him in. His first game is in October. Maybe he misses a game or two due to knee swelling or something. But, yeah, I think that he's consistent. I think that by the end of the season, you may get to see a glimpse into the real Metchie, kind of like we saw with Nico Collins at the end of 21, you know. But I think that Metchie is going to have a lot more explosive plays, a lot more stuff that'll get, you know, turned into GIFs and put on the check down and the Houston Texans social media sites. I think he'll have a lot more highlights, though.
Yeah. If I can make a cross-sport comparison, I think it could be like how Rockets fans at the end of the season, they got a real glimpse at Jalen Green. Like, six of his last seven games, he scored over 30 points. I think those last four, and kind of like how what we saw from Davis Mills at the end. I think once he's fully confident in that knee again at the end of the season and he knows that playbook, we could see the makings of a very scary NFL slot receiver.
Yeah, I think he's definitely going to have a game, and I don't care who the competition is, where he's going to flash his potential of what he could be as, you know, a second-round pick for the Texans, as Davis Mills' new connection. I think he'll have a game like that. That will definitely excite Texans fans. And, you know, I got to hand it to Houston, the way that they are just putting pieces around Mills and letting him go out and earn it, you know, as opposed to, I mean, they really are, from Damian Pierce to Metchie to reinforcing the commitments from Laremy Tunsil and Brandon Cooks to getting Kenyon Green.
AJ Cann.
What?
I said AJ Cann. They got him two new guards.
Yeah, AJ Cann. Hey, he wasn't, aside from last year with his MCL, he only missed five games his whole career. So he was a solid guy there for the Jaguars on the inside. But that's what I'm saying is they're saying, all right, we're doing enough. Here you go. It's yours to prove us wrong. Go scare away the scouts from looking at quarterbacks.
Yeah, and I hope he does. That would be huge for the team if we could win some games. I think that's the best part of this season is there's a lot of optimism to look forward to, but none of the losses are going to matter. While last season, none of the losses mattered, and there weren't a lot of things to look for other than, oh my God, this is our team. They're in a good rebuild spot. There are no expectations right now, and there's positive foundational pieces, and John Metchie and Davis Mills are going to be a big part of that.
Yeah, and that's why I feel like just saying, oh, well, the Texans are in the middle of a three-year rebuild and all this. I feel like this could be the year they bust out of the rebuild, that you don't refer to them as a rebuild.
I'm not ready to say that. I think the talent is going to be really hard, and the schedule, which we're going to talk about later, but it's unforgiving to play the AFC West. That's going to be tough. I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be a stud, which this podcast is probably not ready to hear yet. I'm going to save that for the fall. When they do it, I'll be excited to say it. I'm just not sure it's going to be this year.
That will be an interesting podcast. We'll definitely have to dive into that one, because that will definitely raise the cortisol levels in our listeners. All right, let me ask you this. So we're in the middle of organized team activities. It's a strong draft class with those 9 players that Nick Caserio selected. But nevertheless, they brought on some undrafted free agents. Who are 3 undrafted free agents that you would like to see catch on with the Texans?
Oh my God, it looks like my third one got deleted. But let me give you my 2 guys that I wrote down when I looked at the list. Myron Cunningham caught my eye. He's a 6'6", 320-pound offensive tackle from Arkansas. Kind of in the Deculus mode, the guy we took in the 6th round from LSU, offensive tackle. Our line has 3 uncertain positions, everything outside of tackle. Cunningham might be a little tall at 6'6", to play guard, but really with the uncertainty of our offensive line, especially Tunsil's going to have to be re-signed after this season if we want him to stay. SEC offensive lineman, I'll take it all day, see if he can sticks and figures it out. And the other guy I looked at was Johnny Johnson from Oregon. He was a good route runner there, and we really need some depth at receiver. Outside of Nico Collins, John Metchie, and Brandon Cooks, there's no one on the roster that really excites me. Maybe Hamilton works out coming from Denver. That would be great if it did. He flashed potential while he was on the Broncos, but I'm not going to bet on it. He's been in the league a little while. And then Chris Conley is not someone that I'm expecting to turn into a reliable NFL weapon. So he's getting another route runner, maybe a wide receiver 4 type out of Johnny Johnson would be great. What 3 guys did you look at?
So Jake Hansen, he was a linebacker from Illinois. So he figures to know how the Tampa 2 is supposed to run. And that's something that Miles Smith talked about on February the 22nd, was how, oh, well, our Tampa 2, you know, has really evolved from being in college and everything. It's not the same as it was last time it was in the NFL. So it has seen a lot of the differences in the offenses and all this stuff. Well, I think it'd be fascinating if Jake Hansen, who spent time in that, aside from last year, adapted as well and then found a little niche. Now, of course, he'd have to beat out Christian Harris and Kamu Grugier-Hill and Garrett Wallow. And so he'd probably have to make it as a special teamer and make his case that way. But nevertheless, if he could just get some reps, have some good outings in preseason, he could make his case to stick around as someone who knows what a linebacker is supposed to do in Lovie Smith's Tampa 2. I also got a little fascinated with Drew Estrada from Baylor. He's 6 foot, 196 pounds. So you figure to have just kind of a speedy receiver, someone that could take advantage of of Davis Mills throwing short passes along the edge. But I think receiver is going to be a hard position. I mean, it's going to be really competitive because, like you said, you've got Deshaun Hamilton. I mean, Chris Moore's still around. There's Chris Conley, let alone Nico Collins, Brandon Cooks, and John Mechie. So, but nevertheless, that's a receiver that I'd like to see have some success being from Baylor. And then a third one, you know, I got to go with Adedeo Odile because he's 6'5", 271 pounds, and you just really like to see underdogs like that have a shot at cracking an NFL roster. And, you know, if he could just have some consistency, which is really what it's going to take for these guys in order to just catch the scouts' attention and the coaching staff's attention, then, you know, maybe that's someone that you could stash on the practice squad and then grow over the course of his rookie contract, and he's yours, you know? He's also a guy, like I said, an underdog. He comes from that international, you know, player program that they've got going on. So I like to see guys like that just take advantage and grow. There was one of them that retired here from the Falcons, Jack Crawford. You've also got F.A. Obata, who I think is with the Carolina Panthers defensive end. It's just good for the game for guys like that to really blossom.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be cool. I mean, any of these guys, really, if you make the NFL as an undrafted free agent, that's a hell of a story. It's good for the game. And then you talk about someone coming from an international market. That'd be great. Especially, that'd be a very feel-good story on a 2022 Texans team that might need some when you look at the schedule.
Yeah. Now, the thing with these undrafted free agents, though, even if you stash them on the practice squad when you're rounding out your 53, as we saw with Jimmy Morrissey and how he came to the Texans, you get signed off the practice squad in the middle of the regular season. You got to go stay at that team on their active roster for 3 games. And then after that, they may stash you on your practice squad. On their practice, I mean, that may be it. You're gone. So, you know, these guys, they'd really have to be protected if they were to have that level of success, first of all, to even make the 53-man roster as an undrafted free agent. But then secondly, to avoid getting signed off of someone's practice squad. But, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. If someone makes it that far, in a rebuild, I think if someone's special, Nick will make sure that they find their way onto the 53.
Yeah. No. Yeah, well, yeah, we couldn't talk about the Trevor Lawrence thing, so I figured I would get that far ahead, you know. But let's get really far ahead and look at the Texans' 2022 schedule. And, you know, they messed it up with the 17 games. You don't exactly have and even split in terms of foe. You've got four, five, four, you know. But with this case, so let's just look at it this way. What do you think, John, is the 4-5-game stretch that will tell the tale of the Houston Texans, whether they were good and could have made the playoffs like the Chargers did last year, whether they stank for the third year in a row, or what? Just what's that 4-5-game stretch that's going to tell the tale of the 2022 team?
So I believe week 5, we play the Chargers, which is a game that I don't think there's any chance of us winning. Then we go into the bye. And the 5-week stretch I look at is those 5 games after the bye. Because if we're a good team and then we do well in this stretch, like let's say we're 3-2 in the first 5 games or 2-3 and we do well, playoffs are going to be talked about. If we're a bad team and we play poorly in this stretch, we're going to be one of the worst teams in the league. And then there's any combination in between. So week 7 through 11, Vegas, Tennessee, Philadelphia, the New York Giants, and Washington. So that is three playoff teams in a row, Vegas, Tennessee, and Philly. And then the New York Giants are also in a rebuild, and Washington, no one really knows what they are. I think a lot of our fan base is currently picking the Commanders as a game that we could win. So while I'm not sure that we have the talent this year to beat the Las Vegas Raiders with Derek Carr, they brought in Davante Adams, they brought in Chandler Jones, Tennessee, Philly, New York, and Washington, if you go 3-1 or 4-0 in that stretch, we're talking playoffs, Mark, and I think those are teams that we could feasibly be expected to compete with. I think Philadelphia, you might know more about this, you cover the Cowboys, has a big chance.
That's Mark Lane from Universe 972.
That's true. 972 Mark Lane would know that the Philadelphia Eagles should be the favorite in the NFC East. So not a game I might pick us to win, but this stretch to me will define who the team is, how they do here, because they're not easy games, but Vegas is the worst team in the AFC West, I think a lot of people would say. Tennessee, there's a thought they could regress. I don't think there's a perceived huge gap between us and Philly, us and the Giants, us and the Commanders. So those are my five games where the playoff dreams either they might come alive or number one pick dreams could come alive. What stretch did you pick?
Well, Mark? Yeah, that's an interesting stretch. And also, I like to believe what Bill Parcells says, that you know what you got by Thanksgiving. And so Thanksgiving, that first game, you could look at it this way. You could say Tennessee, week 8, Tennessee, week 9, Eagles, week 10, Giants, week 11, Washington, week 12, Miami, and then I think that's the Thanksgiving weekend. You could look at it that way, or you could say the Miami game is the beginning of a five-game stretch where you go Miami, Cleveland, Dallas, Kansas City, and Tennessee. So you got your nice little mix of playoff teams with Dallas and Kansas City and Tennessee. You have
Mark, we might go 0-5 in those games.
Do what?
I said we might lose all five of those games in that second stretch.
Right.
That's the worst stretch on the schedule.
Right, but you figure the cohesion. But like I said, according to Bill Parcells, the Thanksgiving thing of you know what you got by Thanksgiving. So, but I hate to be lame. I really think it actually is the first five games of the season before the bye week in week 6. Here's why I say that. You've got Indianapolis, who has been just gone back to thumping Houston the way they did in the beginning of the franchise with Peyton Manning. You also have in that stretch Jacksonville, who's been horrendous, whether Houston's been going to the playoffs or stacking four win seasons. You've got a very difficult road game with Denver in week 2. You've got a bottom 5 power ranking team along with yourself in Chicago. And I think the fact that it's in September, you don't have to worry about the elements, so may as well be a neutral site game. And then you've got a hovering playoff contender in Los Angeles, also in the same conference. So you've got a nice little mix of a division bully, a division wimp, a tough road game, a bottom 5 power ranking team, and then a hovering playoff contender. That all of these different challenges and makeup of those games, I think, tells you what you got.
Mark, but what if you just come out of that 500? What if we're 2-3 or 3-2? I mean, I don't think we're going to be 3-2, but what if we're 3-2 or 2-3 in that stretch? Does that tell you a lot?
I know,
about
that's
the
why
team?
I said it's. I know, that's why I said it's lame, because it's the first five games of the season. I mean, really, when you look at it at a schedule, there you've got about three. You could have three different teams in the same schedule. You know, your team could have three different makeups and looks, and they're not the same team they were when they started the season. I mean, just look at Carolina, for example. So That's why I said it's lame, but I like the different, you know, elements going into each matchup that I feel like if they're healthy enough and, you know, you don't have any yeah buts, that could really tell you what Lovie Smith has been working on over the offseason and through training camp.
See, for me, if we beat Jacksonville and we beat Chicago and we lose to Indianapolis, the Chargers, and the Broncos, we beat two of the five worst teams in the league, and then we lost to three of the best 10 teams in the league. So I guess that's why I couldn't pick it. But you're right. We're going to know pretty quickly who the team is. If we're really
right,
good,
but
we're
look
really
what
bad.
You just did. You just told us what they're going to be if they do that. That means that they're just still someone that
average
goes and steals candy from a baby.
Okay, fair enough. Fair
but
enough.
What if they come out and they punch the Colts in the face and then they go to Denver and then they win in a hostile road environment and then I drop one in Chicago for Lovie Smith, but then they lose to the Chargers. And they beat up on the Jaguars. I mean, now what are you looking at? You're looking at a team that's 2-0 in the division, that can go on the road and win tough games. I think it really sets up just a lot of intrigue coming out of that bye week, going and playing in a hostile environment, but not one in terms of climate at Allegiant Stadium.
No, you're right. I mean, if they win those games, if they beat Denver and Indianapolis, that changes the complexion of the team. It is a really interesting three games to start the season. Because also, there are people who think Chicago is better than us. Everyone has us in the bottom five, but that's an even game and a game that if the Texans aren't going to be bottom feeders, like you said, they're going to steal candy from the baby. They need to beat the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, and it'll be tough because that baby will fight back. Because Matt Eberflus is their daddy pushing the stroller, and he's someone that really gets his teams ready to go. He's fundamentally sound. Matter of fact, Matt Eberflus, when he was coaching at the University of Missouri in the early 2000s, went over to a coaching clinic put on by the St. Louis Rams, and it was coordinated by then defensive coordinator Lovie Smith.
Oh. That's a good fun fact. I'm sure we're going to hear about that
lot. Yeah, we'll definitely have all of the fun facts. I got to do my research on that. Time's just getting away. I need to sit down and do my 100 facts, get them ready for the season.
You're the GOAT aggregator. You're going to have a great headline for that. I already know it.
Yeah, but really, it's just every part of the schedule, John, it's just so fascinating. Whether the 4 or 5 game stretches, just the challenge, there's really not a boring stretch to this schedule at all.
No, we're always going to be learning something new about the team and about Davis Mills this season. It's not going to be stagnant. The headlines will write themselves, which is going to be so nice for you and me, but great for the fans. Like the Houston Texans, no one gives a damn about them nationally. But they're compelling right now. I'm really excited to see how these players evolve and what storylines we get because it could go in a lot of different directions this season.
Yeah, and I think Texans fans just want to see it going up. Even if it's flirting with 500 the entire way, even if they fall 2 games below 500, but just flirting with 500 the old way. And then if the AFC South is also taking a step down as well, then I think it'll be compelling for Texans fans, for Houston sports fans, to where when the Astros complete their postseason run, you know, they won't be looking forward to the Rockets tip off.
No, the Texans will be work unless Davis Mills is horrible, but I don't think he's going to be horrible.
I think the only way Davis Mills is horrible, I won't even say it, but you know what it is, and everybody knows what it is, so I'm not going to say it. That's the only way Davis Mills will be horrible this year, I think.
Yes. And what I will, you threw me off. I guess the team is going to be worth watching. We're going to know a lot about them. I really hope that we get some of these Astros and Rockets fans back in the fold because they're passionate. Houston's got some great sports fans. Just the football team's hurt them.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like when you have a pizza buffet and you get shut down by the city health department for having salmonella outbreak. You know, it takes a little while to get your customers back, but if you can just have one good review in the paper or just word of mouth, then the customers will start coming back.
Yeah. You and your food analogies, Mark. You and your food analogies.
I forget who I was talking to. I was doing some podcast with those college kids, I think. And I told them, I said, I could relate, you know, chicken to behavioral psychology. I could relate fried chicken to behavioral psychology, okay? It's just, it's how it works.
That's your thing, man. That I don't know how you do it. You do it every episode. You do it when I'm least expecting it as well. But you make these food analogies, and they're good. Because you're right, if they get a good review, if they beat Denver or they beat Indianapolis in week one, week two, people are going to watch the rest of the season, regardless of how it goes. If Davis Mills gives the people a reason to buy in, and something I was going to say is, if they're picking 9-11 this season, that would be a huge success. Because like you said, things would be moving in the right direction.
Right, and depending on what happens with Cleveland and their quarterback situation, then it could flip to where the Cleveland pick is ahead of Houston's, and then, I mean, that would really, really, I think, bring Texans fans back to the buffet if that happened. Even if the Texans pick is only 9-11, like you said, but so long as that Cleveland pick is 3-5.
That would make my year. That'd be incredible. I think we're not going to talk about it on this podcast because I'm tired of talking about it and people getting mad at me. I think that Deshaun suspension is going to be pretty lengthy. That Cleveland pick could be really special.
Yeah. It is what it is. But yeah, I think that it's a situation with the Texans where, you know, you just got to have that one Sunday afternoon after church where as many people come as possible, not one order gets screwed up at the buffet, all the pizza comes out, all the drinks are flowing, no one spills anything, and they just, the customers leave, and then they tell their friends what a great experience it was, and then you can look forward to maybe a month later, you're back to having everybody at the buffet again.
Mark, we got to go to a game this year.
Yeah, that would be nice. Hey, like Yogi Berra said, he said this about a place. He said that their particular restaurant is so busy, nobody goes there anymore.
What? I'm going to have to think about that one for a minute.
Yeah. He meant that the restaurant's so busy that none of his friends go there anymore. Hence, nobody goes there anymore.
Nobody goes there anymore.
But I don't think NRG Stadium's going to be that way. I think everybody's going to be there and your friends, because I think that they're doing a really good job just generating interest and bringing things back in the fold.
It's not 2021. I'll at least give them that. If I can make it to NRG, I want to go. Like you said, people are going to come back. It's time, Mark.
Yes, for sure. Let me ask you this, though, before we get out of here. Who do you want to hear from next week during week two of OTAs? What players?
Ooh, I'm trying to think of who we've already heard from. We've heard Davis Mills plenty. We've heard from Brandon Cooks. Petrie kind of gave us terrible quotes. I would love to get him up there and pick his brain more about where they're putting him. Kamu Grugier-Hill could be, if we heard from him since he came back.
No, I don't think so. For me, it would be, I want to hear from Damian Pierce. I want to hear from Chris Conley.
What about Marlon Mack?
Yeah, I guess. But I want to hear from Dameon Pierce. And then Roy Lopez.
Lopez and Pierce have been great in the interviews they have had, so I would not be opposed to that at all.
Okay, all right. This has been an excellent episode of the Texans Talk podcast. We're going to go ahead and get out of here. John, where can they follow you on Twitter?
You guys can follow me at John H. Crumpler. I'll be bringing you plenty of Texans content through the offseason. Really enjoying covering the team, interacting with you guys. Mark, where can they find you and where can they find our writing stuff?
Yeah, at The Real Mark Lane on Twitter, at The Texans Wire on Twitter. Find all of our work at TexansWire.USAToday.com. Be sure to subscribe to the Texans Talk podcast on Apple, Spotify, and TuneIn. And, you know, it's really fun. I enjoy basketball on grass.
What do you mean, basketball on grass?
OTAs, that's what Bill O'Brien called it.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that. Yeah, we've got something to talk about. Gets us through the off season. All right, everybody, have a great morning.